Hey, Danger Danger is here with a special Halloween announcement. Part one of our Patreon-exclusive Halloween bonus content will be premiering Wednesday, October 16th. Stick around to the end of the episode after the credits and blooper for a sneak preview of that. Remember, you can access any of our bonus content by signing up on Patreon for just $5 a month, or by volunteering as an episode transcript and wiki writer. Shoot an email to dndarkpodcast@gmail.com for more info on that. That's all for now. Enjoy the show.
Do you like D&D, improv, and a podcast where the DM can't control the player's intrusive thoughts? Well, then Flip of Fate is what you're looking for. This loosely D&D podcast is about four misfits being roped in on an adventure by a wealthy centaur wizard. We also have a three-part Halloween special out now set in the modern world about four teens caught up in a small-town horror. We played that one shot in a simplified D&D system close to the Call of Cthulhu system. Now in our main campaign, we play in D&D 5e. And if you're looking for some nitty-gritty D&D and advanced rule following, you won't find it here. We're just five close friends that enjoy improv and D&D with some chaos mixed in there. So come and check us out. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts at Flip of Fate. You can also find us on all socials, so stop by and say hi. Again, find us and listen to us at Flip of Fate. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your show.
D&D Dark is an absurd, over-the-top comedy horror adventure that is intended for older audiences. Content warnings can be found in the episode descriptions. Previously on the Patreon-exclusive bonus episode, House Hunters.
Alright, so, going down into this room, Maledict takes a look at Marlo, and Marlo says, "Alright, well, putting aside whatever that was, I'm sure you've noticed that things are pretty dire just around." Gestures wildly.
"I haven't noticed anything more than normal. Granted, I haven't been outside of the House of Mysteries in quite some time, but everything is prepared for it to teleport."
"Well, before you do that, I would strongly advise against that. We need to reassess. Things are pretty dire. You know those idiots that we've been following?"
"Oh, yes, the five weirdos who came to this town and upended everything."
"Yes, yes, those ones. So, they've caused a bit of demonic trouble. There's a whole bunch of just weirdness spawning around everywhere, and I know it is important to you to abandon everything and just go."
"Oh, fuck you.
Please hear me out. I would really prefer that you not put yourself in harm's way."
"Oh, you care about all of that now, do you? Since when have my wants ever been something of importance to you? I can tell that you've been with Akasha again recently, and I have explicitly told you time and again this is not an open relationship."
"Well, that is beside the point. That is a matter of business. You know how the work goes."
"It's always a matter of business. Everything that you do on your end always comes first. Tell me why I shouldn't be the selfish one for once."
"Because your life is at stake. Well, your unlife. You know the technicalities and the terminologies here. Everything is at stake here. So please, just all I am asking is that you give it a little bit of time for us to figure out what the hell is going on so we even know where a safe place to go to is."
"I can wait. I will choose not to wait."
"Why are you being difficult about this right now?"
"Because it is the only way to get you to listen to me. You have never once valued anyone above yourself, and I don't buy that you're doing it now. So, when you listen to what I have to say and start valuing my wants and needs, then we might have something. But for now..."
And he is going to reach towards in a cabinet encased in solid glass, marked "In case of emergency." There is a mortar and pestle that he grabs the entire glass cube of, and Marlo is going to make a contested sleight of hand to snatch it away from him. That is a 22 from Marlo, and from Maledict, a 15. So Marlo will snatch away the glass cube containing a mystical mortar and pestle.
"Look, listen, I don't have time for you to be a petty bitch right now.
Ooh.
I need for you to value your life and By the way, this is my house after all. I'm the one who won this house from Baba Yaga. I'm the one whose name is on the deed.
It was my mansion before you teleported the hut inside of it.
We're not going to get into this right now. What we are going to get into is you needing to calm your shit down, get a clear head, and come back to me when you are ready to value your life. In the meantime, please just stay put while I handle this. And Marlo will disappear in a puff of smoke with the mortar and pestle. And Maledict is going to arm himself, exit the room, take a deep breath, and step out of the threshold of the house.
Hello and welcome to D&D Dark, a comedy horror real play podcast loosely based on Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition, starring not our usual monsters, but rather some of our favorite NPCs. My name is Jordan, and I'm your host and crypt keeper.
Hello, everyone. I'm Danger Dangers, and I play Marlo Bronte, a vampire College of Eloquence bard. And last session, Marlo basically found out what Gonzo's plan to try and protect the city is, and is kind of grappling with the fact that now he's got a responsibility, and he doesn't really like that. But also, the general shenanigans and tomfoolery aren't really hitting anymore, knowing that the stakes are what they are. So he's in a bit of a conflicted place right now, and also is fighting for his life amongst a bunch of vampire hunters of varying skill levels. And also, I'm Danger Dangers, and I play Maledict Stonecroft, a vampire hunter ranger who recently came into contact with Jonathan Harker and has, trying to think how to put this,
as nicely as possible.
And is doing a lot of introspection, learning a little bit about what his plans are and his ultimate goals, and knowing that it does not spell anything good for the undead population of Stratford, and also kind of reconciling his own allegiance to the town and personal responsibility in everything that's going on. And also, I'm Danger Dangers, and I play Lady Amelia de Gonzola, a human life domain cleric who, not much has changed for since last time, still neck deep in setting up a hallow ceremony around the entire town of Stratford, and is depending on the other two idiots in order to try and get the town on board with not nuking the undead in the process. But she is still kind of coming to grips with her own mortality, since this move will, while it's not guaranteed, it is almost certain death.
And in telling the story, I am not alone. I am joined by Aaron, Bailey, Ben, Daniel, Grayson, and Kendra, who will all be assisting me in helping Dan face the consequences of our actions.
Yay!
So far already?
Yeah, you discovered the secret of D&D. You don't have to own up to your own consequences if you just shove them off on someone else. It's the Phantom Special.
Whoa, now, hey, whoa, now.
Yeah!
It's got its own turn now.
Excellent. And on that note, we'll hop right back into it. So, Maledict, you finally feel that release from the abjure enemy. It is no longer holding you in place. You're able to freely lift your feet off the floor and continue walking into Stratford. And it has been a little bit of time, but just enough time that the other group has been able to clear off. You see Stratford looks like business as usual. People are kind of going about their everyday business. And as you're kind of scanning around, you see that Gonzo has continued to make her way around the border of Stratford and is a little bit of a ways past the nest. So you can come to a reasonable conclusion that she has recently made her way past it.
Would she have witnessed everything that's just happened?
I think there is a good chance Gonzo would have been able to pick up on a little bit of what was happening, especially the commotion happening directly exiting the nest. Please make a perception check for me.
16.
She definitely saw Marlo actively writing on the back of someone exiting the nest. I don't think she would have seen what happened with Jonathan because that was kind of on the other side of town, but at least Marlo writing a person being followed closely behind by a handful of other people.
So Thursday.
Yeah, I was going to say it's kind of business as usual.
With that in mind, Maledict is going to start to make his way towards the nest and stop by what Gonzo's doing and ask her, save me a little bit of time. Is he in there or not? As she is, like, mid-thought, mid-incantation, continuing to lay down this ceremony, without looking up to him, she stops and says, not. I don't know what he's up to. It's interesting to see you out and about. I haven't made contact with you since the Inquisition, which... Again, apologies for that.
Oh, no, I understand. You were indisposed. That wasn't you and whatever nonsense. It's fine. We've all been there or worse.
Right, that's not important right now. I'm a little preoccupied, but I don't know where he's off to now. It's probably not good. There's some interlopers in the town, and you know that historically that is not a good thing for our town, given the last several weeks.
I resent that.
You can resent it all you want. It's true.
I'm not disagreeing. Right.
I'm going to tell you what I told him. Things are very dire right now, and you have about... Roughly how much time would you say has passed since starting this?
I think there's about 12-ish hours left.
You have roughly 12 hours before I consecrate this place as hallowed ground. Now, I can make an exception for the undead so that you may freely still remain within this town without being harmed by holy magic. The town is not going to agree with me. I charged Marlo with convincing everyone to allow me to make that exception because I am not in a political position to be able to make it myself. You trusted Marlo? You realize that literally everyone hates him. He is probably the most... Sorry, the second most... Third or fourth most hated person in this town.
I understand that, but I can't exactly afford to be picky right now because as you can see, I'm in the middle of saving fucking everyone right now!
So, please, I'm sorry if I'm a little testy right now. My patience is not exactly in a good place. I'm trying to focus on saving all of our lives. So, allow me a little more context for this. What is the purpose and reasoning behind all of this? Well, how can I put this succinctly? Gestures wildly. Fair enough, say no more. Maledict is going to start to look around at the general environment and see, he's going to sense some of the tension in the air. Does he see how visibly obvious is the, like, demonic nature of the world around him when there haven't exactly been any incidents here just yet?
Because he is a ranger, make a survival check with advantage.
That was a 5 and a 13. Plus 9, so with advantage, that is going to be 22.
Jesus.
All right. I'm glad I gave you the advantage. Even though the incursion happened, like, what, a day ago, 2 days ago, there is a different feeling in the air. You're getting this feeling from your different animals, your wolves, your bats, your rats. In the same way that animals react when there's a fire coming, the air feels a little different. It smells a little different. All the animals are nervous and kind of running in different directions, but there's no real safe place to run because the incursion ripped holes everywhere. The fact that nothing has happened here yet feels to you more like a calm before the storm. So you are aware from your creatures on the outside, even though you've been in your house for so long, they feel an uneasiness coming. It's looming.
A thing that didn't occur to me until just right now, as a ranger, among my favored enemies are fiends.
Mm.
So, with the ranger favored enemy, I have advantage on survival checks to track undead and fiends, and intelligence checks to recall information about them.
Yes.
Would I be able to detect from the general sense in the air and from my knowledge of specifically fiends, more specifics about what's coming?
What are you looking for? What kind of details?
The severity of what's coming, and if there is any one specific big threat or several little threats.
Yes.
Cool.
You will likely see the small ones first. You will see maw demons. You will see dretches. You will see, like, the essentially the little cannon fodder guys will start appearing first, but they guide the way to bigger and worse things. And that feel and unease in the air, and the times you have seen outside with your animal's eyes, there's something big heading this way.
Would you describe the thing heading this way as some kind of abyssal super weapon?
Yes.
Interesting.
That does not sound good.
So, Maledict, sensing this, is processing quite a lot as he's realizing the severity of the looming threat between the forces that he senses are incoming, the extremity of the measures that Gonzo is resorting to, and the panic state that Marlo was in. Well, I say panicked, but...
His bummer state.
Well, the bummer state happened after the fight, but...
That's true.
But anyway, all of the alarm bells are going off, and he is going to respond to Gonzo with, "You're the only one doing anything about this? Would it be Stratford if anyone else helped?"
Oh.
Damn.
Dang.
He's going to sigh, and he's going to go back and forth in his head between his own personal survival needs and initial instincts to draw back into the house, teleport away, and avoid all of this, and his allegiance to the town.
And another little thought that I think we can place in the back of Maledict's head, whether or not he's conscious of it or not, is the incursions ripped holes all over the place. So who's to say wherever he would settle down next would be any safer than here? It's all a gamble. How much you want to introduce that to his psyche, I'll leave up to you, of course.
He's still going to be weighing all of that as Gonzo is doing her thing. That's going to be a small consideration. And he's going to say, "You and I have known each other for quite some time, and go back quite a ways. There is a reason I entrusted care of this town to you. Tell me, how dire is everything?" She stops for a moment, takes a deep sigh, looks him right in the eyes, and says, "There is a non-zero chance that what I am doing right now will kill me. I don't know how much allegiance you still have to this place. It was yours at one point, but you've drawn back into that house more and more with time. I know that you don't necessarily enjoy the responsibilities of overseeing this town that was once your thrall, but we've come to an agreement before. We can come to an agreement again. If this town still matters to you now the way that it did then I need your help to protect it. I think we can both agree that we cannot let this ride on Marlo's shoulders." "What do you suggest?" "I know that he's got a better way with words than you, but everyone in this town, in some capacity, looked up to you at one point or another. Whether it was of their own free will or not is beside the point. Enough time has passed that we are beyond that. If this town at all matters to you, then you need to prove it to them so that they will let me keep you here." And he is going to, still very pensive and introspective, say back to her, "You've given me a lot to think about. First things first, do you know where Marlo is?" "Unfortunately, I don't know where he's gone off to. I can tell you he is not in the nest. I don't know in what capacity he's been tangled up with our interlopers, but probably not anything good, knowing...
Yes, knowing him.
Thank you. I'll get to finding him, and I'll have an answer for you eventually. Well, either way, you have 12 hours, one way or another, so make up your mind quickly. And he is going to respectfully nod and give a courteous bow. He will leave the conversation and start to look for signs of where Marlo would have gone off to.
Excellent. And with that, we will jump back to Marlo. So you go out quite some ways into the wilderness. You feel the other dimensional shackle grasped onto something, and the wrappings around your eye are removed away, and you are hooked up to a tree, and you are surrounded by these various vampire hunters as well as Jonathan.
On the entire walkover, he is going to try to pinpoint who will be the most annoyed by show tunes.
Oh no!
And be singing to himself under his breath and trying to whisper and using the minor illusion cantrip, amplify it in the ears of the vampire hunters around him.
Into the woods we go again, it happens every now and then. Into the woods to grandmother's house.
Oh my god. Okay, so obviously Mist wasn't going to do it, but Bet Me the player was thinking about that damn song. We're going to move him into the woods.
I like to imagine Marlo's like kind of skipping as he goes.
He is skipping as he goes, making a concerted effort to drive his feet a little bit deeper into the ground with each skip to make noticeable footprints.
Yes. Oh, so good. So smart. He's a smart guy.
He's a smart guy.
It's almost like he's been in situations like this before.
Little scamp.
Can I have everybody roll a wisdom check? And this is to determine how well you're able to handle show tunes.
One of them is an unnatural 20. The other is a 16.
I got a nat 20.
Jonathan found the theater kids. That's what this
Do
is.
Do any of them start singing along?
Yeah.
You know, with my nat 20, can I actually like sing the other parts in like perfect key and harmony with the Marlo?
I'm going to have you roll performance for that.
Ah, shit. Okay.
You know the song and you can sing along, but how well?
Yeah, you can definitely sing along.
Everyone can sing. You can't really sing well.
Oh, nope. That's a 7.
It's not great. You ain't gonna win any leading roles.
It's much worse.
Yeah, I got a 12.
Oh, hey, I also got a 12.
All right. Not your favorite.
Like, we like Sondheim, but, like, could be better.
It's like, it's always this one. It's never any of his, like, deeper works,
always
right?
This one. Ugh. Anytime you walk into a woods, off to the woods to live in his
Excellent.
House.
I'm gonna make a say for Jonathan. God damn it. That's a 20.
Yeah.
He fucking loves it.
It's his favorite.
Let me amend that then. For the ones who would be more amenable to Into the Woods, they're hearing Into the Woods. For the ones who are more dark and brooding, they get Sweeney Todd.
Yes!
I fucking love Sweeney Todd.
As he is harmonizing with himself, using his minor illusion cantrip, is just kind of playing his own voice, singing several different songs at once, depending on the person. So for the more brooding ones, they get,
there's a hole in the world like a great black pit, and the whole of the world inhabits it, and it goes by the name of London.
Oh, it's so good. How thematic.
As I hear that, I take out my knives and I go, there you are, my friend.
Yeah.
Jonathan Harker's just sitting there pinching the bridge of his nose. I can already see it.
I think Jordan rolled a nat 20 on Jonathan's save too. Yeah.
I rolled a nat 20 on whether he loves musical or not. So he loves musicals. Oh my god, he loves musicals. And then I rolled a deception check to see if he can hide the fact that he's having a fantastic time. I rolled a 4 plus 2. It's so he's trying his best, but it's so painfully obvious that he is having a fantastic time right
Second
now.
Second thoughts is like, you know, maybe we shouldn't just kill this vampire. We should just start a theater troupe right now.
He's like, want to hate this guy so bad, but he was so amenable. And now he's singing my favorite musicals. Hold it together, Jonathan, hold it together.
I like to think that Maverick is poorly hiding. I can't let people know I like theater. So he's trying to be gruff, and they are doing a terrible job.
So, yeah, Dan, you've unraveled this group of vampire hunters' one weakness, and that's musical theater.
And of course, almost everyone in this D&D group was a theater kid at one point in their lives, so it's just even worse.
It's just meant to be.
Musical theater, baby. I got my bachelor's in it. How you doing?
Yeah.
So now that I have properly unraveled both the characters and the players, please continue.
Yeah, he is embarrassed, but tries to like quickly recompose himself. And he's like, look, I brought you out here because I have a few questions to ask you about the nature and state of this town. So either we can do this nicely, you've been very amenable so far, or we can do this the hard way if we run into any trouble.
Is the blindfold off at this point?
Yes, it is off.
How shaded of an area are we in?
Ah, shit. Let me see. If I roll above a 10, it is sunshiny nice. If I roll below a 10, it is nice and dark and good for vampire healing. That is a 7.
All right, so I'm going to regain 20 HP.
You do that.
Oh, my God.
Wow, we are like the most incompetent vampire hunters ever.
You take what you can get. Times are rough right now.
And, playing up his injuries, Marlo's going to say, well, what do you consider the hard way?
Let's see.
Because I would prefer not to put in a whole lot of effort, so...
Well, you know, the easy way is notoriously easier for everybody. But if we need to make you more amenable, we will find ways.
All right, that doesn't answer my question. That's still incredibly vague. I mean, of course the easy way is going to be easier. That's the name, but... Can you get more specific, please?
Simply put, radiant damage, holy water. You know, the tricks in the book. Look, I know you can heal. I know you vampires have an amazing healing factor. And I know you could put up with a lot. And if it gets to a point where we, quote-unquote, kill you here, I know you don't actually die. You'll just poof away back home. So we're going to try and get you as close to that as possible without you flickering away. Does that make it clearer?
Above table, honestly, the fact that we're in a spot where I will be healing kind of makes this worse.
Yeah.
I was just thinking that.
Well, ask away. Depending on your questions, we'll see how troublesome I get.
What is the purpose of the undead and the living working together as one in Stratford?
I'm not sure I understand your question there. What is the purpose of it?
Right. You vampires have incredible strength and power and abilities of manipulation. Why are you playing these silly human mortal games? What do you get out of it?
Do you mean me personally or us at large?
Well, if all the information you have is about you personally, then sure.
Well, I mean, I have more information than just myself, but it depends on what you're asking.
And Jonathan's starting to pinch the bridge of his nose. It's like, fucking goddamn it. Just tell me, what do you, the undead, let's say in general, get out of being here? Because I've heard what your governess has said, but I want to know what you're getting out of it.
Well, I can't exactly speak for everyone else. See, that was a little bit of a lie when I said that I could speak for people other than myself. What I can tell you that I get...
I'm going to roll to hit.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
16 plus 7.
That's going to hit.
6 melee and then radiant. It's going to be... 6 plus 4, 9, so 18 radiant.
Ow!
All right, try that again.
Try what again? Getting hit?
Your answer.
Well, I was starting to give an answer. You're the one who interrupted me.
And he's going to raise his weapon again.
And I'm going to regain 20 health. So as I was saying before you so rudely interrupted me,
I am an information broker. This is a place for me to lay down my network to share information. The reason that I am holding out on you so much is normally this is a service that I charge a fee for, and I have not seen anything like that on your end. So I'm not saying that I'm not going to give you information. I'm just saying that this might go a little bit more smoothly if we make this more transactional. Go ahead and hit me again.
I'm going to hit you again.
Yeah.
10 plus 7?
That'll hit.
Okay. 5 base damage and 12 radiant.
Yeah, okay. All right, all right, all right. I get it. You're allergic to fun. Fine.
Am I going to need to get a chair?
Depends on what the chair's for.
Use the chair, boss.
Use the chair. Depends on how long we're going to sit around here and play these games. I'm guessing you're the one that other vampire was talking about.
Statistically, probably, but what do you mean?
Oh, that one coming from the other, from the way of that house. I met him on the road.
Ah, I see. So I'm not the only liar here.
Hmm.
You met him on the road. He's a recluse. He's not going to come out of that house, no matter how provoked. It's the reason why I keep coming back here. He doesn't do anything stupid if I'm here, because that's my job.
Do you want to test whether I'm lying?
Well, do what you're going to do regardless.
And he is going to cast Zone of Truth, but Jonathan's going to choose to fail. So, I mean, it's Marlowe. You're going to make a charisma saving throw.
I am just going to choose to fail that because it's more narratively interesting.
Jonathan's going to get a little closer to you and say, I met him on the road and we had a chat. It sounds like he's someone you know very well. Whether or not you're fond of him, I'll leave that to be your business. But he is out and about at the moment. And what's the look on Marlowe's face right now?
His face is a very practiced, neutral expression.
Okay.
Internally, he is far more nervous. You can tell this is a very rehearsed demeanor and stance, and it's a little better than yours.
Damn it. Ah, shit. He's got me.
But you can tell that bringing up Maledict being out and about from the house has him on the back foot, and it is a combination of confusion, concern, and pride that you can't quite tell where the levels of each are.
Aww. All right, next question for you and your companion. When this town no longer serves you, what are you going to do?
Well, when you say for me and my companion...
You can answer for yourself first.
I suppose I'll do what I always do and try to find another one that does.
And Jonathan's going to nod as his biases are confirmed.
But there's no place quite like this one.
What do you mean?
Well, is that your next question?
Yes.
As I'm sure you are aware, as a vampire, I can more or less do whatever the fuck I want. But not so much here. This is the one place where I can't exactly get away with my normal routine, and that intrigues me. I suppose it's the reason why I keep coming back to Maledict. He's the only one who won't put up with my shenanigans. And I want to know where the line is. It seems like I may have finally gotten through to him, which makes me very nervous. And I'm going to take some liberties here with how the Zone of Truth is affecting him.
Right.
Making him be truthful and acknowledge the lies that he tells himself. Marlowe is going to continue with this spiraling train of thought.
Oh, no.
And that makes me nervous. I normally push and push and keep testing those limits and keep poking at those boundaries because I know he won't let me get away with it. He will run, I will chase, we will continue our back and forth. And the more trouble that I cause, the more he will retreat back into that house of his, the less involved he'll be with all of this. And I like it that way, because the more autonomy that he begins to show himself, the more likely he is to realize he's too good for me.
and then he's going to stop, and his practiced expression is going to break, and he's going to go wide-eyed.
Mist is going to lean over to Maverick. It's like, I was expecting a lot more fire, brimstone, bah-ha-ha, drink the blood, not a therapy
session.
All right,
please ask me more questions. This is... I feel like we're getting somewhere here.
Mist is just going to be very obnoxious in the back and be like, do you love him?
I don't know. It's kind of sweet, I have to admit.
Oh my god, kiss already.
I did not get that vibe from this at all, but if you insist. And then he's going to lean into Jonathan and then get, like, shooked back by the dimensional shackles against whatever tree he's hooked up to.
Jonathan, as soon as you started, like, letting the emotions out, his not as good practice facade completely falls away. He's like, what is happening? And then as soon as you like lunge up to give him a smooch, he completely falls backwards on his ass. And then almost absentmindedly, he's going to ask the question that was just asked of like, do you genuinely love him? Do you feel love?
I suppose under this zone of truth, I can honestly say, I don't know. I didn't think that we were capable of that. Lack of souls and whatnot, but I suppose as far as I am capable of that, he is someone who, comparatively speaking, he is more real.
That's kind of beautiful.
Let's not do apologia. We all know that Marlo sucks, though, right?
Oh, Yeah.
Oh, I agree
100%. Yeah, okay, cool.
I didn't want to say it, but...
I don't need a zone of truth to tell you that much.
Wink. Can Marlo roll an insight check?
Nat 1.
All right. You don't get to see or notice. You're very still kind of focused on yourself and trying to unpack your own feelings here. And you see Jonathan quickly get up, brushes like pants off. And he's like, okay, we're done. We're done here. And he starts like grabbing the reins of his horse. And he's like, all right, everyone, let's head out.
But it was just getting good.
I don't know what kind of games he's playing. I don't know what's happening here. We need to leave. We need to get back and we need to help the governess with her spell.
So what do we do with him? Do we just leave him here or do we, you know, finish the job?
If we finish him here, he's just going to regenerate in his house. If we leave him here, then...
I will add, it will be extremely painful and unpleasant. So if you really want to make me suffer, it'll save me a trip, but it's... Oh boy, it's really going to be terrible. And I'm under a zone of truth, so...
I think you're going to finally get to serve the town in turn. We're going to leave you here as a distraction for when the demons start arriving. That will at least buy Lady De Gonzola some time to complete the Hollow Ground. And when it goes off, you won't ever be able to enter Stratford again.
If you will indulge me, I have a question for you. What are you hoping to gain out of all of this?
Well, you see, that's a complicated question. There's the smaller scheme things, there's the bigger schemed things.
Oh yes, you're so clever. Fine. What is at stake for you personally in this Hallow spell?
If we can help this town build up its forces, we can take down Dracula.
And you posit that the best way of doing that is by kneecapping the population of this town, preventing them from using their most valuable and powerful resource, which is numbers.
These numbers you speak of are undead. Basically, the same as the armies that Dracula is trying to conjure up to take over all of England. I see it as weeding out those that would betray the people that are here.
I see. All I'm asking, which as long as you're under the zone of truth, you can't, is that you don't lie to yourself about where your priorities are, because it's clearly not about protecting the people.
It's about saving the people.
Saving which people?
Roll another insight, please.
Another nat one. Fuck.
Oh no.
Marlo is just having the best time right now.
He's very emotional.
You know what, Dan? You've been doing stellar at playing these three characters, and I've been incredibly stingy. I think after all this work, you have earned at least 1 point of inspiration if you would like to reroll that nat one.
All right, I will burn that inspiration immediately. Nat 20.
Oh!
Ooh,
nice. Yeah. Ooh,
that's what we're talking about.
The consequences of my actions.
Feast or famine.
Feast or famine. Only extremes here.
You can tell, after getting over the glee of how good of a job you're doing, you can see that he starts to, like, seize up and start to shake a little bit, and there's a little bit of, like, water in his eyes. And you see he's holding back so hard, but he mouths the word Mina. And then he shakes it off. He's like, oh, no more questions. We're done. We're leaving. And he's going to start getting up on his horse, and he's going to try and guide everybody out of there. Any more quips or retorts from Marlo?
I am desperately trying to go through my mental Rolodex of Sondheim songs.
Play them out.
As Jonathan is beginning to trot away with the vampire hunters, he hears kind of echoing around him.
And I know things now, many wonderful things that I hadn't thought of before.
There we go. There's the fire and the brimstone and the muahaha. As Jonathan is leaving, if any of the vampire hunters turn and look at his face, there's like pure dread and fear has come over it. But we can now jump back to Maledict, which I feel like at this time, one of the rats that Marlo sent a message spell to would have reached him.
I will also add that the little rat messenger spread the word to a couple of other rats that were kind of following along and watching and listening and overheard the entire Zone of Truth conversation.
Oh, no.
The
gossip, the drama.
So any rats that approach Maledict will be intensely gossiping.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Maledict, you see this little swarm of rats come up towards you, and they're all just like... And they sound like they're giggling and blushing and like little schoolgirls talking about what just happened. One of these little rats. Can you speak to animals? Are you able to do that?
I did not actually give him speak with animals. Continuity-wise, we have had him share information with rats. So What I will do, I will use up a spell charge of Beast Sense.
Okay, we'll take that. That way you're almost able to jump into the consciousness of these animals, though they are not speaking out loud literally to you.
The description of Beast Sense. You touch a willing beast for the duration of the spell. You can use your action to see through their eyes, hear what they hear. While perceiving through the beast sense, you gain the benefits of any special senses possessed by them. So basically, the way that the spell works is you can use animals kind of as recon.
Mm-hmm.
I am choosing to interpret this, if you are generous with it, as also seeing and hearing the backlog of information that was shared with them specifically for the purpose of sharing them with Maledict.
And then they tried to kiss.
They tried to kiss?
That's all they got.
But Marlo kind of maybe said under a zone of truth that he loves you. And he's very flustered by it. He had a whole therapy session where he was really trying to like work through some emotions. But he seems to like really appreciate your company and the way you push him and the way you hold him to like, his accountability. And it's very precious. And we all thought it was very cute. But he almost kissed this other guy. But it was more like an intimidation tactic. But I'm not really sure how that goes. But we still all really think...
And they're just going to keep rambling and rambling about the therapy portion of this whole thing.
All right, calm down. Where is he?
And the rats nod and they go into like an arrow formation and then they start running off towards the woods.
And does he still have the mortar and pestle?
And they to a halt and they look at you. And they kind of shrug because that didn't come up.
All right, as long as they don't know about that, we're in the clear. Continue.
And they start running off into the woods.
It's like the fish from Finding Nemo, where they all do shapes.
Yeah.
And then hopping back over to Marlo, as you're kind of sitting there with the dimensional shackles on your wrists, just kind of hooked up to a tree, you're able to heal up quite a bit now. It's been some time.
How many intervals of 20 HP?
Let's say 2.
All right, I am at 2/3 of my max health.
Yes, very nice.
It's the funny number.
Yes!
Nice!
You're 25.
Marlo's, you're sitting there alone with your thoughts after really having, like, some healing time. What's kind of racing through his head?
As he is forcing himself not to reckon with anything that he just said.
Deny, deny, deny.
He is thinking, and they don't even know about the mortar and pestle. Distraction achieved.
Yes.
As in the back of his mind, the embarrassment of everything that he just said is like really pressing up against the floodgates. And he is forcing those walls to stay up.
I would like Marlo to roll a perception check.
Nat 20. Ooh. Feast or famine.
Oh my gosh.
Thank God. Marlo, as another way to like kick yourself out of your own thoughts and ignore what just happened, you start hearing footsteps and cracking of sticks and things getting closer to you, and you start to hear garbles and choking sounds and just real nasty noises starting to get closer and closer from behind you in the woods.
Well, that's not good.
And you feel the dimensional shackles around your wrist, and like they're pretty secured to this tree. And then little by little, the smell of rot starts to hit your nose.
What is the description on like the saving stuff for the dimensional shackles?
It is a strength check of 30.
The main thing that I'm taking a look at is on the spell Shatter.
Mm-hmm.
A sudden loud ringing noise, painfully intense, erupts from a point of your choice within range. Each creature within a 10-foot sphere centered on that point must make a con save or take 3d8 thunder damage or half as much on a successful one. Creatures made of inorganic materials such as stone, crystal, or metal have disadvantage. A non-magical object that is not being worn or carried also takes damage if it is in the spell's area. It does not say that it doesn't work on magical items.
I think let's roll for luck. Dan, please roll a flat d20, and if it's above a 10, then we will let Shatter affect the dimensional shackles.
That is a 14.
Shatter will have effect on the shackles.
Do you want to give them a certain number of HP?
Yes.
Which, here's my proposition.
Yes.
If the strength difficulty is 30, if I can get Shatter to do 30 damage, it will break them.
Is that possible for you?
It is 3d8. So at base, no. Upcast, maybe. Over time, yes.
Okay, let's do it.
So let me start burning away my spell slots.
Yeah.
That is going to be 18 damage.
Okay, and as you cast Shatter and it reverberates outward, you can see that the shackles are starting to ever so slightly crack, but that smell of death and rot is getting closer, and you see behind you in the surrounding shrubs these gnarled, twisted, fleshy limbs start coming out of the shrubs. The skin is like this bluish teal sickly color, and slowly pushing out of the leaves, it is this mass of flesh with eyes bubbling out of it, these bright orange eyes. And the center of this flesh, it looks like it's torn open, but in the center of that tear are just rows and rows and rows of teeth.
I suppose talking our way out of this is out of the question.
Funny thing about these creatures that are all teeth, it says they understand abyssal but can't speak it. Love that. Love that for a thing that's all mouth.
And Marlo's going to
make a nervous, toothy grin.
And so do these fleshy creatures. Well, I guess less nervous. But please roll if you would like to attempt another shatter on the shackles.
Will this shatter hit them too?
The range is what, 10 feet?
Yes, it is a 10-foot radius sphere.
Okay. You could wait until they get close enough to you to cast it. But if you're not immediately able to bamf out of there, they will be able to attack.
I think I'm going to risk it.
All right. So they're going to come within 10 feet of you. And you see these horrible, slobbering, oozing things.
It is a saving throw. Do you want me to roll using my spellcasting modifier to see if they get hit, or do you want them to make saving throws?
I'll have them do a saving throw. Is it a dexterity, or...?
It is, I believe, constitution. Yes, constitution saving throw.
That is a 9.
DC is 17.
So they miss it by that much.
I'm going to upcast this to level 5.
Might as well.
That is going to be 6d8 thunder damage.
Ooh!
That is going to be 30 damage.
Mm. Nice. Oh. Marlo, as you like let out this cacophonous shatter erupting out, you feel your wrist break free of these shackles, and it hits these maw demons hard. It doesn't kill them, but it nearly does. So please describe what this looks like for us.
Continuing the trend, because... he's in a mood.
Marlo's going to hit this thing with that ear-piercing, shrill scraping sound from the Sweeney Todd soundtrack.
Oh my god.
As he is poofing into mist, he will kind of ebb and flow around each of these maw demons, taunting them. As he sings,
oh, what a word, oh, what a thing. I've often thought, I've often dreamed how it would be. And though I never thought I'd be, I don't know if you can understand me, but say the word. That's right, free.
Hey!
Yeah, get out of there, Marlo.
Brilliant. So, Marlo, you escape away from these maw demons in spectacular fashion, and you're misting your way through the forest back. And I would say hopping back to Maledict in Stratford, you're following these rats, like, straight into the woods. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
I am following the rats and the tracks that Marlo made, and... unless this contradicts with your plans, I would love to cartoonishly just miss.
No, that's absolutely why I was asking.
Marlo mists away just past Maledict on the other side of some trees so they don't see each other coming or going.
So as you mist away and you just skip over Maledict, I would say after some time, Maledict makes it to the point in the woods where Marlo was. And the rats that have been guiding him just kind of form a question mark.
Are the maw demons still there?
Yeah, they're like writhing and wriggling and their bones are contorting to force them back up on their feet. It is mere moments missing Marlo, so they are still recovering from this shatter.
Dang, they're a little too far apart.
What do you want to do?
I was going to use Maledict's third level spell, Conjure Barrage.
How close do they need to be?
Well, it is a 60-foot cone, so let me see. It is mostly just their width apart.
I can back up a little bit.
Perfect, that'll work.
Yeah!
Oh my god, that's massive.
You throw a non-magical weapon or fire a piece of non-magical ammunition in the air, causing it to create a cone of identical weapons that shoot forward and then disappear. Each creature in a 60-foot cone must succeed on a dexterity saving throw. Creature takes 3d8 damage on a fail or half as much on a success. Damage type is the same as that of the weapon or ammunition that is used. So he is going to, from his longbow, pull out a bundle of arrows that are tied together.
Hell yeah.
He's going to fire that off into the air and then really quickly draw another single arrow and fire into the bundle, breaking them apart.
Oh, that's sick.
Causing them to spread out in a cone and just rain down a volley on each of these maw demons.
Hell yeah.
as these arrows pour over on these maw demons that are still trying to recontort themselves, they puncture into their just sickly, disgusting flesh. And you see this, without a doubt, will absolutely kill them. And they deflate into the ground, kind of steaming up this, like, disgusting acid blood as they sort of, like, melt. And you are hit with an additional wave of, like, this disgusting abyssal rot. But you did it! Da, 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 da,
da, da, da. As Maledict takes them all out, mm-hmm. he sees and feels more of that impending doom. And, like you said earlier, knows that the weak ones are what will come first.
Mm-hmm.
And he will look around, he sees the confusion of the rats, and he sees that there is no discernible trail, but sees the shattered shackles and hears kind of the lingering echo of Sondheim.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And on that note, we will hop back over to Gonzo in Stratford. As Jonathan arrives back into Stratford proper with the vampire hunters following behind, he is still very, like, shaken and exhausted from trying to keep up this front the whole day. But just encountering the most bizarre wild people, this has not gone the way he thought he was going to go. But he did make a promise to Gonzo, and he's going to walk up to her as she has now made another bit of distance around the perimeter of Stratford. And he's going to say, Lady De Gonzola, I've brought some of my people to assist you. I'm sorry it's a little later than I had expected, but I want to make good on my word, and they should be able to provide you some assistance in completing this ritual.
And how much time has passed / is remaining?
It's getting close to evening now, and Jonathan is going to ask some of his people to help Gonzo, like, continue the circle so that she might get a little bit of rest. So she's not going, like, what, 36 hours no sleep?
Yeah. Her hair is getting a bit frazzled and unraveled. She's got bags under her eyes. All of her clothes are starting to, like, be ruffled and off. And she is tired and sweaty and just going through the motions of everything.
I brought them here. They can pick up where you leave off, and you can at least get a few more hours of sleep before you complete the ritual the next day.
Can I have her roll insight?
Yes.
18.
I mean, I don't think I'm going to do it, but I'll roll opposed at disadvantage. Yeah, that's not going to do it. What are you looking for?
How terrible of an idea is it for me to hand this off to somebody else where I am not directly overseeing the fallout of it?
I think you know how I imagine this works is Gonzo started the spell. Gonzo has to complete the spell. There's people that can continue the counter on the 24 hours, but since she has started it, she needs to be the one to make the ultimate decision and close it out.
Okay, so follow-up question on that insight. If they were to do anything to sabotage this, she would immediately know, correct?
Absolutely.
Just so you know, not that I don't trust you, but I don't trust anybody at this point. If you do anything to sabotage this, I will know immediately.
Understood. I hope you understand that it is in our best interests to have this spell go off. If it doesn't, I'm afraid all of Stratford is doomed. So I can guarantee you we will not do anything to sabotage this spell. But I do have to ask, have you made a decision on what you are going to exclude with this spell? Because it's coming down to it.
The decision is ultimately up to the town, so I will not finalize anything on that front until the town has conclusively made a decision. That will be one of the final things that happens when this goes up.
I'm looking at my Zone of Truth spell, and I feel like it would still be active. It's active for 10 minutes. So I would say, I don't know if Gonzo knows this, but I feel like Jonathan is still under the influences of the truth spell. Can I have Gonzo roll to say for it as she is, like, brought into the radius of it?
And that is a charisma save?
Yes.
That is a 16.
A 16 will pass. So she is not under its influences. As Jonathan kind of hand waves some of his people to come and help with the spell, he's going to ask, look, I know before you told me that the whole thing of Stratford was to promote a life where these undead can live amongst the living and the living can get some financial boons or bonuses from it. But if you don't mind my saying, ma'am, you don't seem like the miserly type. So can I ask, why did you start this town in the first place? And why do you really allow the undead to exist here?
And she is going to very tiredly look at Jonathan as she starts to hand off the materials for the Hallow spell and say, I'm a little too worn out to not be candid with you here.
But before I answer that question, just answer for my own peace of mind. Why is it so important to you that I exclude them? I know you say that you swore an oath to protect the people, but this doesn't seem like you're putting the people first. What exactly is your oath?
And you see a bit of panic as Jonathan seizes up a little bit as the residual zone of truth sets in. Because he knows he must answer you. He knows he has to. And as you see, like, the corner of his lips pull back a little bit, he says, you're right. I did not swear an oath to protect people because I have continually failed to protect the people around me. I lost my good friends and I lost my wife, Mina, to the likes of Dracula. So I didn't dare swear an oath to protect people. Rather, my oath and my tenets are to fight the greater evil and by any means necessary. No mercy for the wicked. And if I fail and my foes are able to wreak ruin upon this world, I will know it is because I failed to stop them. I can't protect people, but I will do everything in my power to destroy the evil that would hurt them. Because there is one point where I did not follow my tenets, and I found that showing mercy upon the undead has just led me to more pain and more hurt.
I would, under better circumstances, encourage you to reconsider what your definition of the greater evil is. But all I will say is that I have some understanding of where you're coming from, and I'm going to tell you this, and then I am going to go to sleep. We both have turned away from the Bloodhunters. I think I have a pretty good understanding of why you did. You didn't think that they were ruthless enough. I turned away because they were too ruthless and blind in their judgment.
I was training to go up into their ranks. I passed every preliminary trial, and when it came time to take on the Hunter's Bane, my final task was to cleanse the town that I was staying in of the undead presence. And part of why I was doing what I was doing was out of devotion to the people of the town, was out of a protective instinct, and was out of a need to defend a woman I loved. And I was too late. As the town came under the thrall of the undead, she was turned, and I did what I needed to do. I cleansed the town, including her, and I was celebrated and commemorated for what I did. And some part of me knew that it was not too late for her and that she still could have been saved. But I followed their edict. I did what I was told. And as I was praised for it, that praise rang hollow. I have never regretted anything more. Because in those moments, even though she was without a soul, there were still echoes of her left in there. I don't know whether I could have got through to her, but I knew I needed to try. And I didn't. And the edict of the Bloodhunters was that I shouldn't. And I could not live and reconcile with that. I left the sect.
I found Stratford under similar conditions, and I needed to answer that question for myself, whether it was possible. And so far, the experiment of this town has proven to me that there is at least a chance.
I would be lying if I said that I didn't, if some part of me didn't hope you were right.
I do not claim to know what a soul is, but something resembling one is possible in these creatures that don't have one. If you take away the hunger, they are just another creature. And that's what I strove to do here. And what we've come to agree upon, what we've made work, is a transaction that at least at some level, as fragile as it is, as fraught as it is, I'm not claiming that what we have here is perfect. It is far from it. We need long-sustained work. This is a system that is a work in progress. It is an experiment. But removing the hunger from the situation, I got the people on board with the financial well-being of their town. They have benefited from this. The undead have benefited from this, and they've been peaceful since we've removed that from the equation. I don't know whether this is something that is sustainable or conclusive, but I had to try. And it is important to me that I don't repeat my mistake. I lost the woman that I loved twice that day, when she died and was turned, and when I gave up on her. I don't know where your head is at in all of this. I don't know that any of this will get through to you. So I'm not asking that you follow in my footsteps and similarly don't give up on them. All I'm asking is that you understand why it is so important to me that I don't. Whether or not you respect my wishes, that's on you and this town. I'm doing everything I can to save these people, and I hope that they will be able to see reason and try to save them as well. Now, if you'll excuse me, I don't think I'll be able to get more than an hour or two, but I will get what I can so that I can continue this ritual and lay down my life for the people of this town, alive or otherwise.
Understood, ma'am. Get some good rest. It'll be needed tomorrow. And I imagine she makes her way back home.
Yes, she makes her way back into her accommodations and collapses on her bed.
Oh, poor lady.
I think after that conversation, Jonathan's going to turn to the rest of the vampire hunters and just kind of give them the nod to keep continuing the ritual, and then he's going to find a place somewhere to hunker down for the night as well.
He's not even going to work on the circle?
He's got lackeys for that.
Well, he's got lots to think about.
Oh, man.
Mr. Harkless, though? I have a rather important question.
Yes?
Why are we doing this and you're going... This doesn't seem like a very good employer relationship if we're doing all the work and you're just abandoning us. Right.
I understand. Can I make a deal with you? If you can work on this for a couple hours, come get me and we'll take shifts. I need a minute.
All right, sure, fine, yeah, whatever, I guess. Whatever, what you say, boss? Oh, it's fine.
Thomas has already been working on it.
Yay, Thomas! Sweet boy!
That one vampire slayer is doing the most half-assed job. It's full-on boss makes a dollar, I make a dime mindset.
Mist isn't very magically inclined, so he is just trying to copy what everyone else is doing.
And they're doing hand symbols, Chumba Wumba, Fufu, Boogaloo,
If we have four people half-assing it, that's at least two asses. So I think that'll be enough to maintain.
Thomas is whole-assing it.
So we've got 3.5 asses going.
3.5 asses. Sounds like a TV show. I think that's
the new ABC sitcom.
Well, now that the equation is gone, that ruins my segue. I was going to say, speaking of two asses, let's jump back to Marlo and Maladict.
Oh, yeah!
Anyway, so we jump back over to Marlowe and Maledict. Where is Maledict at this point?
I will ask first where Marlowe would have ended up.
I think by the time Marlowe comes back to town, he takes a look around and he sees, okay, everybody's going to sleep. I don't really see Maledict anywhere. I would say from behind you, a couple more rats come up to Marlowe, and with their cute little rat hands, they're like making little heart shapes at him. Yeah. And they're like pointing back into the woods.
With their hands?
Yeah, little rats with their little hands.
There's something unsettling about that mental image.
Rats have cute little paws, whether you like it or not.
I agree, but just them making gestures with them feels weird.
Did you watch Ratatouille?
Would you rather them make silly little Ratatouille hands, or would you rather have them boggling at
They're
you?
All boggling.
What is boggling?
Google it. It's so cute. I mean, it's a little jarring at first until you understand it's like they're having a great time.
It's mildly horrifying for a split
And then you
second.
Realize they're having a fantastic time. So you're like, oh, it's okay that their eyes are bulging out of their head. It's fine.
Yes.
Ah, I had to Google that.
And now you understand when people say something is mind-boggling.
Oh, that makes sense. Marlowe is going to watch as both things happen and say, I don't know that I like either of these options. But I get it. I'll just wait, because otherwise it'll be a whole thing. So he waits, and then Maledict eventually catches up with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you turn around and you see Maledict there following this little swarm of rats, and outlining in the ground, they make a little heart shape around you too.
And both of them are going to groan and roll their eyes. And Maledict is going to say, first things first, mortar, pestle. Now, if I hand this over to you, are you just going to immediately turn tail and run? That shouldn't make a difference. No, I suppose not. Well, I'm going to give this back to you one way or the other, but just tell me what you're planning to do in regards to the town. Well, I'm certainly not going to leave it up to you. That's a very good idea. You probably shouldn't. But I was reminded of the importance of certain things today. And while I have been a bit reclusive and a bit detached from it all, one of those important things that I was reminded of was of my own boundaries and my own needs. So I will protect this town. I will make sure that the undead that reside in here, my former thralls, and the et ceteras, are protected. Do what I can to stave off this incursion and try to revel a little bit in the hunt. And then I am still leaving. And I suppose there's nothing I can say to change your mind there. I simply ask that you respect me enough not to try. Marlowe is going to deeply sigh and hand over the mortar and pestle.
Oh.
I appreciate the initiative you're showing for this town. And I appreciate that you are setting aside your own selfishness long enough to protect it. We'll see where we end up after this. I would like that. The only thing I can promise you is to wait and see. But for now, we have more pressing concerns than whatever our relationship is. I understand. So, look, I know you're not as good with words as I am, but but I do feel like we'll be more successful if you're the one who does the talking. Now, I will help you. I'll still stand on the sidelines and give whatever assistance I can, but it's probably better if you do
it. Yes, yes, I understand.
All right. I think while this conversation is happening, the circle of rats are continuing to boggle. as this is delightful. At this point, whatever is going to happen will happen the next day. You guys both know that tomorrow is the day, as a majority of the town, majority of the town you're going to have to convince is going to bed for the night. Gonzo, you went to bed. You fell asleep in the clothes that you had been working in all day. You're so exhausted. And you fall immediately asleep. But it feels almost as if the moment your head touched the pillow, you are awoken by banging on the front door and shouting crowds right outside.
And Gonzo is going to very sorely get up out of bed and make her way to the door, eyes only half open, just kind of very squinty and dreading everything. She's going to open up the door.
Dang, Gonzo, you look
Time's
like
up, Dang Gonzola.
Two dead folks down here. We want them
Gonzola. It's been too long.
My wife left me for a vampire.
My family is dead.
What's going on over here? There's an angry mob outside of that person's house, and they're all correct.
We've been giving away blood in pints and quarts. This is England. We should have been doing it in the metric system, Degonzola.
I don't know about you. I don't go to the pub and order a milligram or whatever.
We do the king's measurements and have always.
Pitchforks, get your pitchforks here.
Pitchforks McGee, I love that guy. He made his way all the way out here from London.
From London? Do you have a pickaxe?
Not only that, we got a special on torches, too. So get your torches, pitchforks, and any other mob needs you have. I'll ride over here.
All right, so Gonzo is going to cast in a 20-foot radius sphere Calm Emotions.
I need to apologize. I was definitely out of line. I'm sorry.
I mean, it wasn't that important of a family member.
All right, everyone. I am in no state to be having this conversation right now. I am going to finish laying everything down to keep you all protected against the incursion that's coming in. And she's going to point at the horizon where I'm assuming by this point being the next day, there is a visible horde of demons.
That area that you're pointing to is visibly darker. There is a looming presence in the sky.
Is it just me? Does the sky look pretty when it's all dark like that?
I've always enjoyed the darkness more.
It's called aesthetic.
I can't pronounce that word.
I believe they call it gothic.
I also can't pronounce that word.
Pitchforks McGee, he looks over at the storm, goes, oh, he changes his hat and unfurls a new sign that says Sorgs Miss Peterson and like hits another thing on his carriage, and his carriage is like a bunch of swords and other weapons. Like, gotcha swords, you want swords, needs for you got stabbing needs, I got things to stab with.
Brilliant. So, Gonzo, as everyone is turned away and commenting on the dark, shadowy horizon and commenting about it pretty casually, are you going to take this opportunity to kind of slip away?
Oh, absolutely. As she does, she's going to say to one person, not anyone in particular, but just one random townsperson, organize everyone the best you can. Come to me with a verdict. In about 10 minutes, I'm going to put in the finishing touches to keep you all safe. And I want as much of a consensus as you can muster on what exactly will be excluded from this town. But give me about 10 minutes first to wake up a little bit and to finish what needs to be done. And then she's going to slink away.
Perfect. And then jumping over to Marlo and Maledict, what are they up to?
So overnight, the prep work that they have done, they have cleared away as much of the front entryway as possible of the house. Deactivated a majority of the more accessible traps, still keeping a lot of the stuff closer to their private quarters, armed and activated, but they've made it as hospitable as they can, and as the morning is beginning to approach, after they've gotten their mechanical long rest, Maledict will take the mortar and pestle, and he is going to run the pestle over. Okay, is the mortar the, like, cup portion of it or the rod portion of it?
No, commit. Commit. And then if you're wrong, they'll let us know.
I believe the mortar is the bowl and the pestle is the stick, but me.
That's what I thought. So he's going to run the pestle along the rim of the mortar. And as that little humming begins to ring out, the house will respond in turn to it. and it will begin to shimmer in and out of existence, like a TARDIS taking off. And it will teleport, materializing just at the edge of the town square where everyone is congregating. And the two of them will walk out to this temporarily docile crowd.
You see the temporarily docile crowd. They have made their purchases of pitchfork and torches and some swords and things like that. But you guys can tell that they have very distinctly Gonzo's calm emotion over them. So you guys know you have a little bit of time before the living people start up their rioting and spiraling once more.
All right, so I suppose this is now or never.
Right.
So Marlo is going to first bardically inspire Maledict. So that is going to be a D10.
Ah, nice.
He is going to turn to Maledict and say, all right, well, I'll do what I can, but this is all riding on you. And he's going to pat him on the back and kind of look him in the eyes with his glasses kind of tilted down. And his bardic inspiration is a very strained, pained apology. I'm sorry. Let me stop you right there. First of all, no, you're not. But I appreciate the gesture. You don't have to say it. Thank you. But in a moment of rather repulsing sincerity, let me just say, I know that I haven't been honoring or even taking into any consideration whatsoever your feelings on this whole thing. And that was wrong of me. I am going to support you through this, and if you want nothing to do with me after this, I suppose I need to respect that. Even your getting that far is impressive. I appreciate it. And he is bardically inspired.
Yay!
Okay, mechanically, what's going to happen here? Maledict is going to take center stage and try and convince the living of the town that the undead need to stay here, that they are part of the community, that they belong. You will have 5 rolls to convince them. There is a middling success DC to meet that will gain you 1 point, and then there is a high success DC to meet that will give you 2 points. You need 6 points to convince the town. I will warn you ahead of time, these rolls are very, very high to meet. Because you're having Maledict do this, the rolls are a slightly lower DC than if you would have had Marlo try and do this by himself. And you can't roll the same skill check more than once with a character. You can choose any skill check to roll as long as you give a good reason or flavor of why you're picking that particular skill check. But you can't roll the same check more than once. You have to mix it up. Keep the crowd interested. Have a Minecraft speedrun off to the side. And a thing I will offer to you, Dan, for some extra spice, you can choose to roll with emphasis, but I will leave that up to you.
All right. Noted.
So what would you like to do to gain the attention of this town?
Maledict is going to walk to the center of the town square and step on a small platform and pulpit. And he's going to turn and nod to Marlo. And Marlo is going to use the minor illusion cantrip to basically amplify an echo around everyone.
People of Stratford, may I have your attention, please?
Ooh.
Performance is not a particularly great stat here, but it feels like the appropriate one. Well, that was a nat one.
Oh!
Boo! Get off the stage!
Wow, he looks like the guy who got really sick when the Revenant was here. What a goober.
Hey, that's the vampire that went off my wife.
Jim Bob, I think your wife ran away just because you're a dick.
No, she definitely ran away with the vampire. That's him. I'm gonna go get him.
Maledict, that was a really rough opening. But you got this. You can recover.
I know that we have not always had the greatest rapport with one another, but our survival is on the line here. I'm sure all of you can see that ominous blob of darkness making its way towards this town. Those are forces from other realms. Those are more outsiders that are coming into our town to impede it. I know that your feelings toward me and my kin are tense. I know that we have not always had the greatest rapport, but one thing that we have in common is we do not want to die. And those things are going to kill us. If you look back at the history of everything that has happened in recent times, all of the danger that our town has been under, our most recent string of difficulties, have come from outsiders imposing their will upon our town, crossing our borders, spreading dissent and chaos, as we have tried to maintain a sense of status quo. I am not asking that you accept us. I am asking that you let us help you to survive. You can do whatever you want with us after this is over, but I want you to remember what we have contributed to this town, to your ways of life, including, and I feel like this is a very important point to tack on, the fact that you continue to live, and we would like for that to stay the situation. We want you to continue to live as we want to continue to live.
Mm-hmm.
So think back on your history and your sense of survival.
Okay. Would you like to roll either history or survival?
I would like to roll this as two separate checks, but sure.
Which one first, then?
I will do survival first.
Okay.
I think I'm going to roll this one with emphasis.
All right.
I am going to use that bardic inspiration here. That is going to be a 24.
That is an extreme success. So the town hears your plea of, like, survival. We need to do this to survive. And town, you're sort of starting to be swayed by this line of thinking. Like, yeah, living sounds good.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they want us to live so they can keep sucking our blood. But at the same time, I'm not against... I don't want to die.
Living's great. And you know their party scene? Their party scene is pretty bopping, I gotta see.
Yeah, definitely. I'm pretty sure that blob is a lot more dangerous than these blokes, and we've known these blokes for years.
Wait a second.
Dan, please make your history...
23.
That is also an extreme success.
If you apply critical theory to what he's saying, you know, we are in full autonomy of the means of production when... production is our blood, so...
I mean, the man's got a point. I was able to put my daughter through university because of my blood. I mean, it's not my favorite thing to do, but the gold's real, and they're good people, and they haven't attacked me in the middle of the night, so I guess it's actually been a lot better this way.
I love the hard correct.
I was gonna make the same comment. I love the hard correct from good people to, you know, they haven't hurt me yet.
Yeah, you know, the more I think about it, they're not that bad, right?
And might I also add that, historically speaking, even though our relationship has not always been a good one, and we might have gotten off on the wrong foot, not only do we value your continued survival and your livelihood, but think back to how your quality of life has improved in the recent years since we have lived in an amicable peace.
And he's going to gesture towards a couple of people in a back alley with some trench coats that have just sacks of gold just kind of hanging off the side as they've got their sleeves rolled up, holding out a vein to a couple of vampire spawns that then look over at the crowd watching them and hesitantly hold up a thumbs up.
This experiment of our two communities coexisting and co-inhabiting this town is leading to a lot of new information for all of us. I would like to appeal to your better nature, if possible, if you would have us, to continue that experiment. Allow us to continue to grow and learn alongside you as we both continue to benefit from this system. As we maintain a place that we can call home, you maintain an economic prosperity, and we all can jointly continue to explore what it means to live or unlive or whatever this arrangement is.
And that feels like an emphasis roll. That is an 11.
That does not make the middling check. That is a failure.
I think the word he's looking for is coexist. If he used the right word, I would have been swayed.
I said coexist like 4 or 5. All right, Marlo, please help me out here.
Oh, wait a minute. That's right. This guy's pretty cool, but I forgot he's fucking Marlo. Marlo would have to stay in town. No way.
Oh, fuck that guy. Always making a swoon.
In my defense, it's the undead that I make swoon for me.
Yo, swords McPeterson, you still got some swords?
You kidding me? Of course I got more swords.
All right, I feel like we're losing the plot a little bit here, so let's bring this back in a bit. I understand that we've had our difficulties, and I know how widely hated I am in this town. I can promise you this. I will continue to work on myself,
and you will see vanishingly less of me.
And wouldn't it be great for you to both survive the night, continue to live out and prosper, and to have to put up with my bullshit less for it, and of my own free will, no less. In fact, to prove my point, I am going to make myself incapable of lying to you. And Marlo's going to cast Zone of Truth. I have gone through quite a bit of self-reflection in the last 12 to 18 hours. The timeline's been a little bit vague and rushed here, but...
Hey, man.
To be fair, I wouldn't have done much better. I've done a lot of self-reflection lately, and that is very difficult as someone who does not have a reflection.
Enough with the bits. Just say what you're going to say.
All right, if sincerity is what you want, I will be sincere. This is a town where I have perpetually found stability in an otherwise turbulent life. I know that all of you have the stones to say what you will to me and not let me get away with my bullshit. Although it frustrates me, I appreciate it, otherwise I would not keep coming back here. So all of you have the goodness in you to draw that out of me. I have acted like nothing more than a petulant, rebellious child, and I know I've got a lot of growing to do. I sincerely believe that I can achieve that growth with your help here. I am asking you, please, to allow me, and us by extension, that chance and that opportunity. And if your minds are still made up that you never want to see us again, after we all jointly survive the night, then I will leave permanently. We have our house sitting just off screen, and I am willing to open the doors to any of the undead that you wish to cast out of this town, and we'll take them away peacefully. You will never see any of us again. I am begging you that it not come down to that. Please allow me to persuade you to give us the chance.
All right, Dan, at this point, you have had 2 failures. You have had 2 extreme successes. This needs to be an extreme success to convince the town. And before I have you roll, I'm going to have Jonathan step out. And you guys see him appear out of the crowd, and there is a different energy to him. There is like a callous coldness. There's like an anger on his face. And he's going to say, "People of Stratford, they are pleading to you. They are wishing you to welcome them here, as vampires do to your home. They can only hurt you if you invite them in. And that is part of their manipulation tactic. They have you welcome them in. They treat you kindly. They treat you like people. They feed you lavish dinners. Or in your case, they give you gold in exchange for your blood and for your bodies. And they are doing this to a point to weaken you and to fatten you up like pigs and to make you complacent and forget that they are monsters waiting to use you and manipulate you as tools. They will always have the power over us if we let them in. This is what makes vampires so dangerous. People of Stratford, are you going to stand by and let them slowly drain the life away from you until they grow tired of playing these games? Yes, they will use you now as a tool to protect them, as a tool to keep them safe from the impending demon hordes. And then once that is over, and then once your resources are spent, there is no reason why they cannot feed you to their thralls or throw you to the wolves. I have been there. I have seen it happen. I have been under their thrall, and I don't want to see it happen to any of you. So, Stratford, do not invite them in. Kick them out. You have the powers and the will to do so.
Yeah, quick question. Who are you? Like, sir, I'm not smart, but what I'm hearing sounds like a lot of what I think is called projection. Who hurt you? Are you okay?
That's such a good question for this poor sap.
I think a vampire hurt him. Otherwise, why would he be so mad against Maledict?
Well, I mean, I get that a vampire hurt him, but like, what, did the vampire hurt him so bad that he's coming to people he doesn't even know? And I believe the term is trauma dumping?
Daniel, that's my specialty. That's the characters I always play.
I mean, yeah, whenever time they bite me, my arm hurts, but at the same time, they don't take too much. I'm fine in a few hours. Sometimes they even give me biscuits. It's very nice of them.
I love the biscuits.
Oh, you're right. I remember having a pint and giving a pint watching our footballers.
We proceed to lose really bad.
Yeah, the Stratford Stingrays are not very good, unfortunately. But they're better than that Jonathan fucker.
And Jonathan's sitting there like, what the biscuits? What the? Dan, please make your persuasion roll, was it?
Yep, and I will do it with emphasis.
You can't see me, but I'm giving you all the juju for a nat 20.
Before you tell me the answer, because of how good the conversations have been going so far, I will give you an additional plus 2.
Ooh.
Well, before I reveal the results of that roll, emboldened by that little bit of discourse that just happened, Marlo's going to start to say, plus, if you let us stick around and protect you, you'll see something that is going to be really cool. And Maledict's going to cut him off and say,
What Marlo means is that we understand the possessiveness you have over this town. I understand the want and the desire to protect your home from hostile invaders.
And then he's going to make direct eye contact with Jonathan and say,
but we have lived here alongside you for quite some time. And while you have every right to kick out and defend yourself from whatever trespassers come across your threshold, it's not trespassing if you belong.
Oh my God!
Yeah!
It is up to you whether we belong here or not, but we will honor your decision either way.
And with that additional plus 2, that was a fucking 28!
Holy shit!
Wow. One teenage boy runs over to a vampire spawn lady and says, yes, my love, we don't have to hide anymore! We can be free to show the world that we truly belong together!
Is that one guy's wife?
Brilliant. But congratulations, Dan. You got 6 out of 6 points to convince Stratford to ally themselves with the undead. And you can see Jonathan, enraged, infuriated, is backing up to his other vampire hunters and basically just says, fine. If that's how it's gonna be, then that's how it's gonna be. They haven't seen the horrors I've seen, but whether they like it or not, we are gonna compile a force and we are gonna take back our lives. And as soon as he starts trying to go on another edgy spiel about whatever grievances he has, whatever shit he has not dealt with yet, the town of Stratford, you see birds starting to escape from the trees. You see that impending gloom is getting closer and closer, and out of the bushes and the shrubs, there are those same toothy monsters that had attacked Marlo before. There are warped human faces with wings attached to them, fluttering in and rushing in. And also these just horribly, they look like melted people with like spines and claws sticking out of weird parts start rolling in. The demons are here, and the demons are about to attack.
We are the outcasts, the misfits, you might say. We deal with the nightmares that you run away from every single day. We know the world is a gruesome little place, but us outsiders, we've developed quite a taste for the grisly and morbid, the ghastly and the horrid. We know it's awful, dreadful, but we like it. Just another haunted night, shrouded with unearthly fright. So when you're oh so terrified, you know who to call. The world is falling apart, we'll never take it to heart. So monsters and creatures and spirits and specters and all, let's all have a ball.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of D&D Dark, created and edited by myself, Danger Dan Jers, with artwork and GMing by this one-shot's host, Jordan Nelson. Special thanks to our patrons, including Petty Pest, Len Inc. 13, Dire Beast, The Lone One VA, and Harley Q 135. If you want to join our cult and hear your name entered into the pool of credit shoutouts, as well as get access to our fan Discord, bonus mini-campaigns, and one-shots, then head on over to our Patreon and sign up for just $5 a month. If you want to help us out in other ways, spread the word to your friends and family, or leave us a review at ratethispodcast.com/dndark. D&D Dark's cast this episode was Kendra Taylor, Ben Magnet, Bailey Figure Eight, Grayson Norman, Aaron Coffold, Daniel Cruz, and myself, Danger Dan Jers. Our theme song and outro is Let's All Have a Ball by Ryan White Maloney and Tony Carboni, recorded at True North Studios, Las Vegas. Listen to new episodes Wednesdays, anywhere you find podcasts.
As he sings, I apologize, Aaron. Oh, what a word, oh, what a thing. I've often thought, I've often dreamed how it would be. And though I never thought I'd be, I don't know if you can understand me, but say the word. That's right. Free.
At least it wasn't Annie.
Yeah.
I thought when you said sorry to Aaron that he was going to do, what is it? The Bathing Babes or whatever it is.
Bathing Beauties.
Oh, it would have been so good.
Oh, Bathing no.
We'll fix it in post.
We can retcon it. We can retcon it.
Yeah.
And welcome to D&D Dark Presents Muppet Alien. I'm your host and game mother, Daniel Cruz.
It's time to light the light.
Captain Miller, wait for me!
There's no way. It's been 75 years.
There is a way, because that's how long this ship has been missing, according to Weyland-Yutani records.
Check the radar to see what it is that Davis was looking for, and to make sure that it happens. Hi-ya!
You push the button, you hear the rumble of the elevator shaft from the elevator rising. When the door opens, you can see that there has been a firefight in here.
Do we want to take the stairs?
So as long as you didn't roll over a 6, you guys managed to keep it together. Just barely.
So hopefully we're looking for Muppet reviews.
Oh, if you're gonna be making comments like that, I'm gonna have to charge you.
You charge me? We are on a mission by Weyland-Yutani. You can't charge me. I'm the one charging you.
Listen. Semantics, alright?
Alright, I've got one question for all of you here. What is happening?
D&D Dark presents Muppet Alien. Premiering October 16th, 2024, only on patreon.com/dndarkpodcast.
It's time to meet the Muppets on the Muppet Show.